Sky Carumba, April 9th through 15th, 2023. Mercury climbs just a little this week among the stars in our evening sky, then it slows down to move with them. At the very beginning of next month, the messenger planet will be at inferior conjunction. For now, you can see it very low above the horizon as darkness begins. It's at greatest elongation on Tuesday, 19.5 degrees east of the Sun. Uranus appears near Mercury. It's a challenge finding it obliquely through the atmosphere in the twilight. You will need binoculars. A finder chart will help. So will looking evening to evening and recognizing the stars that don't move while Uranus does. Above them is Venus. Watch the planet slide by the Pleiades this week. Mars is making its way through Gemini. The red planet passes very close to the star Mepsuta on Friday. The two will be less than 9 arc minutes apart at their closest. Mepsuta is a magnitude 3 star, about 8.4 light years away. Mars will be 2 magnitudes brighter and only 13 minutes 12 seconds of light time from us. The name Mepsuta is Arabic for outstretched paw. Ancient Arab sky watchers saw a lion covering a huge part of the sky. All of what we call the twins now were just one part of the lion, one of the lion's paws. Arcturus and Spica are in the lion's legs. You can see all of this Arab lion on April evenings. This week, the moon's at last quarter. That'll be on Thursday. It's on the way out of Sagittarius on that day. Saturn remains a morning object in Aquarius. The waning crescent moon is approaching as the week ends. If you're up early Sunday morning next week, look for the Saturn-Moon pairing. The two will be about 4 degrees apart. That's not close enough for any part of the moon to pass in front of the planet as seen from Earth. But starting next April, there will be lunar occultations of Saturn at least once a month visible from somewhere on Earth. Jupiter is in conjunction with the Sun this week. That will be on Tuesday. There will be a hybrid solar eclipse next week. Now that's one you don't hear about often. You know about total and partial eclipses, and sometimes there are annular eclipses. A hybrid eclipse has all of those in one. In a total solar eclipse, the moon is close enough to Earth to block all of the sun's disk from view. As the Earth turns and the moon moves through its orbit, the moon's central shadow tracks across the Earth. The moon's outer shadow, where only part of the sun's disk is blocked, covers a wider area. So if you're on that central track, you get a total eclipse. And if you're away from it, but still in the outer shadow area, you get a partial eclipse. An annular eclipse is different because the moon isn't close enough to block all of the sun's disk. But if the center of the moon's disk passes right in front of the center of the sun's disk will be seen as a ring around the moon's disk. The word annular comes from annulus, Latin for ring. In some European languages, the word for annular is ring forma, or something close to it, and it means ring-shaped. Just like a total solar eclipse has a path of totality, an annular eclipse has a path of annularity. The moon's central shadow passes above that path. Outside that path, you get a partial eclipse. Now, a hybrid solar eclipse is total in some places and annular in others. This happens when the moon is almost exactly at the distance it needs to be to cover exactly 100% of the sun, no more and no less. But the distance of the Earth also has an effect on what's seen. More precisely, the distance of the Earth's surface, where the observer, the moon, and the sun all line up, figures into how big the moon's disk looks compared to the sun's. On a curved Earth, the areas where the sun and moon are rising or setting are farther from the moon than the areas where the sun and moon are highest in the sky. Now, a hybrid solar eclipse is total in some places and annular in others. This happens when the moon is almost exactly at the distance it needs to be to cover exactly 100% of the sun, no more and no less. But the distance of the Earth also has an effect on what's seen. More precisely, the distance of the Earth's surface, where the observer, the moon, and the sun all line up, figures into how big the moon's disk looks compared to the sun's. On a curved Earth, the areas where the sun and moon are rising or setting are farther from the moon than the areas where the sun and moon are highest in the sky. During the eclipse next Thursday, ocean areas west of Australia will get an annular eclipse while the sun rises. As the central path crosses through Indonesia, the Earth's surface is close enough for the moon's disk to be big enough to cover all of the sun. The eclipse stays total until it gets to the Micronesia area of the Western Pacific while the sun sets. There, it's annular again. Most of the observers who get any of the solar eclipse next Thursday get just a partial eclipse, and even where it's total, most of the event will be partial. Totality lasts up to a minute, 15 seconds. It's important for anyone observing the eclipse to protect their eyes. While most of the sun is covered, it's not painfully bright to look at, but it's still dangerous. You don't feel the ultraviolet and infrared rays damaging your eyes. They're still coming through with enough intensity to blind you. Get a proper solar filter, something made for looking at the sun, if you want to look at it. A typical solar filter passes just 0.001% of the sun's rays. If it absorbs the rest, it just looks like a black piece of glass or plastic. If it reflects the rest, it looks like a mirror. Of course, you can also make some kind of a projector to project an image of the sun. That's safe. Don't stack sunglasses or use old film negatives to look at the sun. The sunglasses aren't made for blocking nearly enough sunlight for a direct view. They'll still pass dangerous levels of ultraviolet, and they may block almost none of the infrared. And film negatives that may have been good for solar viewing at one time could have deteriorated, so they're not good anymore. And some of them were never good enough for that purpose in the first place because they never blocked ultraviolet or infrared. Sky Carumba,